is who you are. That 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 is who you
Well, thank you so much, Barrett. Wasn't that an excellent job you did today? I mean, I really appreciate you, team. You guys did such a fantastic job. The song, excellent song choice today for what we're going to be talking about. And I'm just so grateful for them. They've done such a great job here. And grateful for all of you today. Those that are listening online, thank you so much for being here today with us. I want to say a shout out to some that are at home right now. I'm thinking of Marlis and Dieter. I saw you were watching online, and so thanks so much for being with us. And also, I want to say a big welcome to my sister, Erin, in California, is watching right now. And thanks, Erin, for being with us today. And so glad that you were able to do this through technology, that we can talk about, and you can join with us as we examine God's Word. Well, so glad that you are here today. I am excited to talk to you a little bit today about what I discovered in the Bible and the Psalms and how absolutely relevant it is in our current journey in life. And I believe deep in my heart that you are here in this building, that you are listening online right now. God wants you to hear what He has to say to us through the Bible today. Well, did you ever in life not receive the payout for something that you were anticipating? Maybe it was a job. You did some work and you're expecting something to happen, maybe a paycheck or something like that, that you were expecting to receive that because of the work that you put in. Maybe it was the first date. You went on a first date and you were expecting to go on a second date. Maybe it was something really righteous, like you did something, you took the high road over what you could have taken as the low road. Maybe you were in a morally difficult situation and you took the high road because you felt like that was what you needed to do. That was a responsible thing. That was the Christian thing. That was the righteous thing to do. And it didn't actually end up turning out to your favor in taking the high road. Or maybe you took the high road and thinking to yourself, well, I'm going to take the high road. Maybe somebody will notice that I took the high road and it's going to actually pay out for me later on because I took the high road. But maybe nobody noticed. Or nobody cared that you took the high road? Have you ever been in that situation? I want to go back to 1994 with you. And I had totally fallen in love with this woman. We've been dating now for 6 months. And I was smitten. And after 6 months, and even before that, you know, I realized I wanted to marry this woman. This is the woman of my dreams. And so I was preparing. I went to the store. I went and got a ring. It was a beautiful ring. It took a long time to pay off back in 94. But I had the ring. And that night, I was going to go and take her out. And this was the night I determined in my mind, tonight is the night we are going to get married. I'm going to ask her to marry me. And so we... And before we get there, you know, I had planned out this entire night. We were going to go to a really fancy restaurant, and, you know, I was going to romance her at the restaurant, and then we're going to go for a nice, beautiful walk down by, I was living in Vancouver at the time, she was also living in Vancouver, and we were going to go down to the waterfront. I was going to get down on one knee, I was going to propose, it was going to be very romantic, and she was going to accept my hand in marriage, and, that was my plan for the day. So we started off in the day, and I had all my plans ready to go, and I went to pick her up, and we went for dinner. And so we went to this really fancy restaurant. And all of a sudden, we started getting into a conversation that started going off the rails a bit. And as we were going through dinner, our voices started to raise throughout. By the end of dinner, we were actually yelling at each other and very angry with one another. And people were looking at us at the table and, you know, all around. And they were all uncomfortable and we were yelling with one another. Finally, I drove her home. I dropped her off. I went back home and I was so angry. And I remember thinking to myself, I am the most romantic person in the world. And she ruined everything. So eventually, at the end of the day, though, you know, we got home, and I still love this woman very much. I went back, we made up. I got down on one knee. She was in her pajamas at this time, and she started crying because she was crying from earlier. There was makeup all over her face. And I'm down on one knee, and
for both of us, I can promise you that the expectation of getting married or proposing, it didn't turn out the way I'd planned, nor did she expect. But it worked out. My wife Tracy is here with me today, and I'm so thankful that for that. Yes. Amen. So, you know, this expectation, this anticipation of the outcome of my plan, what I had signed up for, that I had set in motion, it was completely the opposite of what I was planning. You know, and today we are going to be looking at this psalm. It's Psalm 73. And it really effectively sums up our human and the feelings that we have when we become a person of faith, and when faith doesn't produce the results that we initially expect or anticipated. Do you remember the first time when you accepted Christ? If you were to rewind, go back, think about when you accepted Christ as your Savior in your heart. What did you anticipate was going to happen as a result of that, the decision that you made? What did you think was going to happen with your life? What were the expectations of what you were going to be doing in that moment when you were going to be accepting God to be your Savior? And this passage that we're going to be looking at in Psalm 73, it asks a lot of questions, and it answers that most profound question that we all have. If God is good and loves his children, and I by faith follow him and follow his moral compass, then God is going to be good to me. And what is the point of following him when those that don't follow him are doing better than I am? That's the questions we're going to be asking today. So Psalm 73, when we're looking back on this passage, it starts out with a statement, a definitive statement. It says this: surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So before you turn off, you say, well, I'm not Jewish, I'm not from Israel, and stuff that doesn't apply to me. But when we read the Bible, we sometimes have to read it as a historical document. And at other times, we read it as something that speaks to us today. And as far as an historical document goes in the Bible, there are certain events and people that are recorded, and they're meant to remember, to remind us of the event that happened at that time. And that event that took place was for that specific time and for those specific persons. For example, when God commanded Israel, the people of Israel, to cross the Red Sea, that was meant for a specific time, at a specific place, under a certain circumstance. It was recorded to show that God had delivered Israel, his people, from death and slavery. And because the Bible isn't meant just to be historical moments, we read that story and we apply it to ourselves today and understand the principles for us today. So when I read that story, I don't read it and believe only that God only does miracles for Israel. Nor would I read it and believe that every Israelite that goes up to the Red Sea is automatically going to, the Red Sea is going to part. So that was a specific time and place, a recorded story, to remind us of what God can do and what he did do for them at that point. But sometimes when we see that word Israelite in the Bible, it's not meant just for a specific historical moment, but other times it's meant to reference God's children. And if you remember in the New Testament, it says this, Galatians 5:4-26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children and God, children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you then are from Adam's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when we read that through faith, when we read Psalm 73, we are now looking at this as we are God's people, God's children. It's not meant to be just specifically national. So we can understand Psalm 73 to read this, the very first verse, and we would understand it to be this: surely God is good to his people, children. God is good to those that love him and have surrendered their lives to him.
That's the statement that Psalm 73 makes in verse 1. And why do we know it's for us, or why do we know it's just about God's children? Because of the fact that when it talks in there, when it says, because we can only truly be pure in heart when we have asked Christ's forgiveness. So, this Psalm 73, it applies to everyone who has surrendered to their lives to Jesus Christ. And the psalmist makes this statement for us. God is good to his children. But he goes on and says this, and yet, verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. That's quite a statement to make. We have to ask the question, well, why? Why did your feet almost slip? And the reason why is he saw this seemingly unjust contradiction between that statement and what was happening in life. And truly, isn't that the experience, the crux of all of our collective thoughts on this? And it kind of goes like this. God, you are good. I have heard you are good. And I thought, or at least I assumed, that this was for me. And yet it seems that those that don't know you or know you, your goodness, are doing better than I am. And I think that that emotion, that is universal to all of us. This idea is when I accept Christ as my Savior, I enter a contractual relationship with God. God is good. I will have faith. I will believe in him and be good. Therefore, my life will always work out and be good because God is good and he loves his children. And God will make me more prosperous, more healthy than those that don't follow him. Because that seems to us is the contractual balance when we accept Jesus as our Savior. And the writer in the psalm here, he even goes on to point out that this perceived contradiction looks like it almost caused him to walk away from God. And notice how what he is seeing happening is almost the same thoughts that we have for ourselves for today. And it's in this, Psalm 73, verse 3. He says this, I almost fell away because of this, for I envied the arrogant. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff, speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and yet their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. So to summarize what he is seeing in this psalm, he says this, God, you are good. You're good to your people, and yet I almost fell because those that don't follow you, those that haven't accepted you, they are wealthy, healthy, proud, and arrogant. They completely deny and mock God. They are famous people, and people listen to what their opinion is and follow them. Even when it's completely contrary to the word of God and what God wants, they seem to amass more health and more wealth. So remember, guys, this was written 700 BC is what scholars say it was written. That was 2,700 years ago. And his conclusion, it doesn't seem that far off what we think at times, does it? 2,700 years he came to this conclusion that, God, you are good. You're good to your people. I almost fell away because it looks like this is what's happening. And so when we read this psalm, we can identify with it, and we can also identify where the rest of the passages is going, because those emotions, that logic that the psalmist presents is the same emotions and logic that all of us have. And so he sees this, and then he comes and he asks this question. And this is the question that I think is in all of our hearts at times when we are alive. And that's in this, in verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure
and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long, I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. So the psalm writer is asking this question: what is the point? Why do I follow God if there's no, I cannot see a tangible benefit between me following God, me sacrificing, and those that don't follow God? And I think it's a good and reasonable question, and a conclusion that people, myself included, come to at times. God, if you are a good God and you love your children, and I have taken a faith step to follow you and accept you, and with that I have tried to live a good, faithful, and a moral life, and since I believe that good things come from you, what is the point of me being faithful to you when it seems like you're being good to everyone else but me? Have you ever had those thoughts? I know I have. Like the times, you know, I've taken an upper road in a situation and it's affected my life for years and probably some aspects of my life negatively forever. Or how about, you know, a time where you've taken the upper road and it was a direct result of my faith journey. I believed I needed to take the upper road because that was what God would want me to do. That's what Jesus would want me to do, reading the Bible. Had I not taken that upper road, it would have helped me financially, at least in the temporarily, in the short term. It hurt me taking the upper road. Has that ever happened to you? I do know some of your backstories in this church, and I know for a fact that some of you listening right now, that is your story. So do you find yourself asking the question, what is the point? Or what, maybe, you know, we're talking about finances a little bit there. What about health and loved one's health? You know, my mom, she was 62 years old when she passed away. And she had died from complications from pneumonia. I remember sitting in the hospital room. It was by myself, and I was weeping. And we were at that point where we had to make the decision that we had to either leave my mom on life support or allow nature to take its course because she could no longer function with without the assistance of life support. I remember crying, sitting there and sobbing, and the conversation in my mind went like this. I was praying for my mom even before we were at this hospital room, and I was praying for him. I remember the conversation, like, this is the 11th hour, and I remember going, God, please help my mom. Please heal my mom. She's too young to die. I have served you my entire life. I have sacrificed for you. And I'm asking you to do me a solid here. Do me a favor. As if somehow that my acceptance of Christ was this contractual relationship, right? I accepted God. God, you are good. I'm going to sacrifice my life, try to live a moral life. And therefore, you're going to do good things to me so you can at least heal my mom. And those same thoughts that I had are the same thoughts that the psalm talks about, that the psalm writer had. And he says this: if I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand this, it troubled me deeply, and it should. It all seems a little unfair at times. In trying to wrap his own mind, the psalmist, he says this, when it troubled him deeply. And when we try to wrap our own mind, when our perspective of life is limited to our own ingenuity, our understanding, we come to the exact same conclusion that Asaph did, the writer of this psalm. Now, friends, you know what's good news? He doesn't stay there, and he doesn't want us to stay there in that same position, because he says this: when I tried to understand this, it troubled me deeply. And verse 17 says this: till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. So when we refocus our attention, not on our circumstance, but back to God, we find the perspective to say, God is good to those that love him. And as we've been reading that psalm, the psalmist clearly says that his entire focus was on the here and now and on the circumstances that he was in this perception of this betterment of everyone else but him. And only till he comes to the conclusion that he needs to refocus on God, on this eternal, is he able to find this right perspective on life. And hear me, friends. Life is not what God can do for a person, but what God can be for a person. And once he refocused, he recentered on this eternal, on this perspective, to understand circumstances, he came up with this conclusion. And it says this in verse 19. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When we are fixated on our immediate, and we put our faith in the immediate, in our wealth, in our ability to generate wealth, in our health and how we feel, what the writer is telling us is that when you fixate on that, then you are swept away with terror. I am swept away with terror. I want you to consider something for 1 minute, because this affects the entire world right now. Think about what we are all going through. We have lost, conservatively, tens of trillions of dollars of wealth and potential income because of COVID. And not only has it destroyed our health, but it has also destroyed our security in money. One small microbe. It had to start with one. One small microbe has brought the entire world to its knees. One microbe. Now consider for a moment, if your entire life is focused on the immediate right now, what we see, my faith in that I have enough income or enough money to take care of myself, my ability to feel healthy. What if our perspective was only on that, our ability to be financially secure? What if your faith is completely in that? And one microbe has exposed the entire world, our person's faith in that, in this system of security, of a person's life in wealth and health. And it exposes, I think for us today, is that faith in what we immediately see is a fantasy. And that's what the writer of the psalm is telling us. What a terrifying place to live in. And that is the conclusion that the Bible, that the psalm writer also comes to. And I think it's the same conclusion that we all get to and we all embrace as well. The psalmist finished off with this passage, and it's the same advice that he wants all of us to remember and live in. And the conclusion is, it comes to this, is in verse 21. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. When I was trying to figure it out on my own, when my faith was only in those things that I could be confident in seeing with my eyes, in today, when I was that, I was an ignorant beast and I was a brute, I was senseless. But when I refocused my perspective, when my eyes turned to heaven, when I believed and realized that my immediate circumstances, what is happening in the world today, that my life goes beyond what is my time on earth. When I refocus that, verse 23 says this, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We are not creatures of just the here and now. We are children of God and the eternal. And we need to always remind ourselves of this fact. Always. We do not live just for today, but for the hope of the promise of eternity. That our lives aren't just about being the healthiest and the richest, but our focus and our spirits need to refocus on the fact that life is not what God can be for a person, but what God can be for a person. So we go back to the beginning. God is good to those that love him. It seems like it doesn't happen that way in the here and now. I'm just recapping the song. It seems like this is happening. I almost fell away because this and this don't compute. However, when I refocused my